We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Retiring the Redskins' name and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud, tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years.
So they bought some time, basically. They bought time.
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting how they did that, because that's not what was reported, you know? So, I mean, hip hooray, I guess. I mean, it's coming. You know it's coming. But
right.
It's not – like from what I've gotten and what I've seen on my Instagram, a lot of people felt like the change was coming today, like the name change was coming today.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was ready to get their lips fixed for the new name, you know,
right,
of the Redskins. And it doesn't sound like that's going to happen today. That might, you know, be a little –
Again, I think this comes amid the pressure that we just got recently from FedEx to say that the company is going to pull the naming rights off the stadium if it's not changed by the end of the season. So I almost feel like this is a, I don't want to say stall tactic, but this basically puts to rest any ambiguity as they go through this review. Because like you said earlier, I think the feasibility of completing a full name change before the start of the season is rather ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
It probably, when it comes to getting all the trademarks, designs, logo, and everything like that, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, think about how long it took the Falcons just to change their uniform. I mean, that was a year-long process, and they weren't even changing the name.
Yeah,
they got a logo.
Get the different designs, yeah, and everything, and you know, doing surveys about what people think the name should be and everything like that. So it's safe to say that Red Tails could possibly be a name. It's safe to exactly say that that's still in the running. I know some people were saying it's the Warriors, but from this announcement right now, it just seems like to me that everything is still up for grabs. Everything is still in play.
Oren, did you want to play the Breaking News Center just so we get the sponsor mention in, just to satisfy it? Or are you saying it's kaput? I guess not.
It's kaput.
I guess it's kaput. There is a Braves angle on this story. We haven't mentioned this as of yet this morning. Kind of news that we had thought about and heard about on Friday. There was a lengthy interview that took place in the AJC with Terry McGuirk and Derek Schiller, those involved in the Braves front office. They've actually extended the communication toward their season ticket holders, saying they are not going to change the name of the Atlanta Braves, but they are looking at a possible removal of the tomahawk chop. Again, I feel like this is kind of the same situation, though, Hugh. I feel like if you announce a review of something of this nature, you have backed yourself into a corner where you are almost subject to greater criticism if you don't make a change, as opposed to you saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to put out a review, but, you know, and actually also change things.
You know what this one screams to me is that we're going to look at the chop, because that was the report. They're not changing the name.
Right.
They're going to look to take away the chop. So basically that falls upon the people, you
right
know. So that way, you know, you just wash your hands of it. You know there are still going to be some people that are going to probably be there and do the chop, because, you know, that's the kind of world that we live in nowadays. There are people that are just going to be defiant, regardless of how it makes anybody feel. That's just, you know, what they're going to do. So there's still going to be some people that do that. But the Braves will probably make, you know, a PSA in the park about, you know, whenever they play, you know, certain songs, please not do the chop. Please refrain from that and take it from there. The only, like, this is a situation where I feel like you're asking the people to police themselves.
Right. And I mean, I believe it was Mike who did a poll right around the time that this ramped up during the postseason, where there was the Cardinal player who was of Native American heritage who said, that he was offended by it, and we did a poll, and it was like 91% of Braves fans were not in favor of getting rid of the chop. So that's you risk alienating your fan base in that regard.
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. Listen, man, we're still in the South. And, you know, I mean, you know just as well as I do, there are some people that feel the way that they feel, and it's going to be they're going to do what they do. That's just how it is. And they be damned about your feelings or if it's PC or not. They're just because they feel like it's their God-given right to do whatever it is they feel like they do. You know, so there's going to be some pushback. So I think the best thing, and it's unfortunate, but for a minute, it's probably not just play the Braves song. And I don't see how – I don't see that not happening. But, you know, people are going to do the chop, man. And they're going to sit there, and people are going to look at them crazy, and they're not going to care. And it's going to turn into something that it really doesn't need to be.
Right. I do find it somewhat ironic that – the statement from Washington begins with the words "statement from the Washington Redskins football team," still keeping the name in there. And it has their logo and the letterhead still like that.
Yeah,
like really,
like it's a big like, hey, we're gonna ride this thing until we can. I mean, I'm not laughing. It's
no,
just,
no.
I'm not laughing because this is not a serious situation. I mean, this is not a situation to be taken lightly. But at the same time, It just screams to me of Daniel Snyder being as defiant as he possibly can all the way to the bitter end.
Did it also not strike you as a tad hollow that Dan Snyder mentioned sponsors before fans and community?
Yeah, because it's the bottom line. Listen, man, listen. Everything, don't get it twisted. Everything that has happened over the last few weeks has been for financial reasons. I mean,
sure.
A lot of it. It has been. I mean, let's not get it twisted. And I mean, it's great, and it is you know, what a time to be alive and all of that. But let's not forget what really motivated all of this. You know, is the fact that, you know, some bottom lines were being affected in a time where bottom lines, it's not cool to have your bottom line affected.
Understand. Very much so. We've been talking a lot about Atlanta United this morning. A 1-0 loss to the New York Red Bulls. Like I said, Mike Contis is going to join us about 10 minutes from right now to go over that. Goal in the early going for the Red Bulls off a busted play on defense. Though it wasn't on Brad Guzan. We talked earlier, he might have been the guy who actually kept them in the ball game for most of it with 3 or 4 very tremendous saves. Couple of close calls. George Bello had one hit the crossbar. Manuel Castro had 2 shots at point-blank range that he biffed. And the Five Stripes find themselves behind the eight ball after the first game of the MLS's back tournament, putting, Hugh, the onus on Thursday morning's match against Cincinnati for us to try and break the seal.
Yeah, it's not a must-win, but it's the closest thing to a must-win that you have to have. You gotta get this one. Gotta get it.
And Cincinnati losing 4-0 to Columbus in the other game that took place in Group E on Saturday night. Cincinnati, thought of by many as the unquestioned fourth best team of a 4-team group. So the onus is on Atlanta United to not only double up on the victory that they had earlier in the regular season against Cincinnati, but also to possibly get some goals back in terms of goal differential. I don't think you're looking at that as possibly a tiebreaker right now with Columbus because of the fact that Columbus had that 4-goal victory over Cincinnati, but we'll see if Atlanta United can get themselves at least on the board against FC Cincinnati on Thursday. That's an 8:30 in the morning pregame. We will lead right into that on Thursday morning, 9 a.m. kickoff time from the Wide World of Sports. Mike Conti, the aforementioned, and as well as Jason Longshore will have the call for that. First time we get to see the Atlanta Braves on the big screen on TV since the pandemic hit. Intra-squad scrimmage that takes place tonight at 7 inside Truist Park. Mike Soroka, Josh Tomlin will be the scheduled starters. And the thing that I'm curious about, Hugh, and I don't really know if I know the answer, because a lot of times you wonder, like, who's ahead in spring training, the pitching or
pitches
the hitting?
Or the field players?
Yeah. I'm wondering which group of players do you think is ahead? Which group of players do you think is ahead?
I would probably have to say the hitters, because the pitchers, all we heard for the last couple of weeks, Will, was that, you know, you can't, they're not stretched out, you know, right. And you know, being careful with the innings that they're going to pitch and things of that nature. So I would probably say the hitters.
I think the individual pitchers are ahead. They just can't go as long. I heard Paul Byrd say something on this on the midday show, and he said something to the effect of, you know, it takes you a while to pick up certain pitches like breaking balls and sliders. That takes a bit of time to get accustomed to seeing, somewhere in the mode of 3 or 4 or 5 weeks before you have that. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see some pitchers, like, say, Soroka probably having a little bit more success than, say, a Tomlin would. But we'll watch for that tonight on Fox Sports Southeast at 7 o'clock. Mike Conti, the man of many hats, joins us next to dissect the 1-0 loss to New York Red Bulls. Look ahead to Thursday as well as we continue on the morning show. John and Hugh, Willie P. and for John, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
The college football playoff, and we do it every day at 4 o'clock as we talk dogs and more right here on Dukes and Bell.
Red Bulls now trying to get out of jail in their defensive third. Franco Escobar steps up to press. Red Bulls, though, are able to thread it through down the middle. Here's a breakaway with Guzan off his line. Florian Velo to the spot. Shot score. Red Bulls in the fourth minute get the first goal of the match, and it is Florian Velo, who tore his ACL in April of 2019 and missed almost the entire season, giving the Red Bulls the 1-0 lead.
That's how we heard it on Saturday night, the lone goal in a 1-0 defeat. Red Bulls over Atlanta United on Saturday. Man who you just heard now joins us for his usual Monday spot with us on the morning show with John and Hugh, Willie P. in for John. Mike Conti, voice of the Atlanta United and also Atlanta Hawks analyst. He is presented by Lindy and Sarah Group. Sell your home today at lindyhasthebuyers.com and also joins us on the waitfor.com hotline. Mike, I'll applaud you. You and Jason were thrown into a peculiar situation, happened to call the game off a monitor, and not exactly the best jerseys to read when it comes to Red Bull. You guys handled it well.
Honestly, thanks, Will. Red Bulls I had no problem with. Atlanta United's jerseys I couldn't read. They have, like, the light gold numbers on the white shirts, and when you're watching on TV, especially with all the perspiration there in Orlando, the numbers just washed out. So I was having way more problems with Atlanta United than Red Bulls. But I think, fortunately, Thursday morning, they're going to be in the star and stripe kits, so a little more contrast. The gold on black works a lot better than the gold on white.
Certainly.
You know, Mike Conti, all week long you talked about the matchup for the Atlanta United against the New York Red Bulls. It's going to be a tough matchup. And, you know, you always talked about how, you know, being optimistic about it and trying to be, because, you know, we're the Five Stripes fans. But did it kind of play out the way that you thought it would, or was there a few wrinkles in there that you didn't see?
Hard to answer, because I didn't expect Atlanta United to get clean sheeted. So that was unexpected, but the match played out tactically the way I thought it would, where Red Bulls would concede a lot of possession, try to press and create turnovers off a press. Now, ironically, their goal did not really come off a press. It was a very un-Red Bulls-like goal, where they just played a ball over the top, and then they took advantage of, I don't know if it was a positioning error, a marking error, something happened in the back line where it just kind of fell to Velo on a breakaway. Brad had to come off his line because he was the only man back. It's an easy goal. That's the one moment of the match where Red Bulls were better than Atlanta United. If you look at the statistics, if I didn't know the final score, I'd say Atlanta United probably would win. 14-6 the shots in favor of Atlanta United. 10-3 in the second half. 69-31 the possession Atlanta United. Against a pressing team, they passed at 83%. They won almost 60% of the duels. I mean, that's a huge number. So you look at all that, and you're like, okay, statistically, that tells you Atlanta United played very well. What happened? They had three or four really, really good scoring opportunities that they just did not convert on. Manuel Castro, first minute of the second half, absolute sitter. I mean, he has an easy goal that he just completely mishits. Miss hit another one in front of the net a few minutes later. George Bello, good run down the left wing, hits the crossbar late in the first half. So, I mean, they had chances. They had really, really good chances. They just did not execute. the Red Bulls in that one moment did execute, and that's all it took. Brad Guzan, to be fair, made a couple big saves. Red Bulls could have had a few more goals, too. But I didn't think the scoreline really reflected the way the match played out. I thought at the very least Atlanta United was deserving of a draw.
Voice of the Five Stripes, Mike Conti, joining us here for his usual Monday spot with us on the morning show. Willie P. and for John, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know that there was something glaring about the fact that you couldn't get a finish off of those close calls. How much did Saturday's match emphasize the fact that that's just so difficult to simulate outside of game action?
It's a big part of it. And Atlanta United definitely looked like a team that had not played a competitive match in 4 months and a team that came in without having played a friendly or an exhibition game, because you really can't in this situation. In the pandemic, you can't really ask a team to come into your facility and play a friendly. And it showed. And I think it showed for Red Bulls, too. I think it's shown throughout the entire tournament. You know, that goal by Red Bulls was the first half goal scored in the entire tournament, which I think, again, is a reflection of it is taking teams time to remember, you know, get that muscle memory and remember how a competitive soccer match plays out. So I'm not surprised. It does put pressure on Atlanta United, puts a lot of pressure now on Thursday morning. If you can't get a result against Cincinnati, you're probably going to go home. So it puts pressure. It's like we've been saying, I would much rather have played Cincinnati first than Red Bulls. But you're through the Red Bulls match now. You're only minus one in goal difference. So as far as a tiebreaker is concerned, you're in okay shape there. But, yeah, it's tough. It's really, really tough to simulate what Atlanta United had to do Saturday night, doing all these individual and group training sessions for 2 months.
Pity Martinez, Mike Conti. We saw him play better with Barker out there on the pitch with him. Can you foresee him being the guy that we need him to be with Joseph Martinez being out?
Well, I thought Pity played great, but he plays a different position than Joseph. So, and this is one of the things that Jason was talking about on Saturday night. There wasn't really a lot of clarity as far as who the target was in the final third. You saw Atlanta United play a lot of long balls down the wing because they were trying to play over top that Red Bulls press. And the ball would go into the corner. You have a cross from Bello or Lennon. But the target was unclear sometimes. And you're pumping crosses into crowded boxes, and they turn out to be low-percentage scoring opportunities. So, you know, you saw a lot of fluidity. I don't even know if fluidity would be the right word. It was just maybe some disorganization in the final third. And you know, Frank is probably going to have to identify, you know, either someone who's going to exclusively play that false nine role, or you're going to have a pure striker. And I wouldn't be surprised on Wednesday if you were to see Adam John get a start, because he did start against Cincinnati in their last league meeting on March the 7th. And at least he gives you a target. He gives you a little more of a definite idea in the final third. But I thought Pitti played great, even before Barco came in. I thought he played great. I think there were moments where he may have been a little too selfless, where I would have liked to have seen him go to goal. But I thought his work rate was excellent. And he was drawing a lot of attention. I mean, it felt like every time he got the ball, there were three black jerseys immediately there to surround him. So in that sense, Pitti was doing his job.
Mike, I know that seeing Barco on the bench to start was a surprise for a lot of us. Do you envision maybe he gets a start, plays 60 on Thursday?
I don't know. I don't know really the details of what injury he suffered in training during the week. Usually in this situation, you know, coming off an injury, and I'm not sure of the details, the club never really said, you play 30 minutes, then you play 60, then you play a full 90, but it's unusual when you have a five-day turnaround. So I could not even speculate on that, Will. I mean, yes, he could start with the idea of playing 60, but that's a really, really tight turnaround from Saturday night to — it's really not even a five-day turnaround, it's a four-day turnaround, because you're going from Saturday night where you got off the field close to midnight, and now you're going to have a 5 a.m. wake-up call on Thursday. It's a very, very tight turnaround.
With that being said, Mike Conti, you know, you talk about the tight turnaround. What is the one thing that you think can potentially be fixed before that Thursday morning match?
I really have no idea. I don't, again, I don't think they played that bad. Like, everyone mm-hmm. said, well, they got to fix this. They got to – no. I mean, they had 10 scoring chances, which was scored as key passes by Opta. They had 10 in a 90-minute match. That's good. You know, like I said, they had 10 shots on goal in the second half. They outshot Red Bulls decisively. They had more possession. Like, they played okay. They mm-hmm. What they need to fix is not having someone wide open in front of goal miss the ball, right. Which is basically what happened in the first minute of the second half. They need George Bello, when he's got a break down the left wing, to not hit the crossbar. Other than that, I really thought it was okay. Red Bulls are a tough team to play. Sure. I don't like having to play them, especially when you haven't played in 4 months. If they can't find a way to score against Cincinnati, who looked woeful, looked hapless Saturday night against Columbus, then you got obviously major concerns. And then we are talking about things to fix. But I don't think we're there yet.
Okay, I was going to ask you.
Don't push the panic button just yet.
No,
don't push
the
panic button.
No.
Gotcha. Hey, I was going to ask you how difficult it was to learn anything out of that other match, because, like you said, Cincinnati didn't look really interested in the result at all.
Yeah, they're playing without their best players, so you have to keep that in mind. And it sounds like Jurgen Lacadia, who is their best player, is probably not going to play on Thursday, which is a big, big break for Atlanta United. Cincinnati is playing under a new manager, Jaap Stam, who only got there a couple weeks ago, so there's been very, very little time for them to develop cohesion and get used to their new manager. It's an expansion team to begin with that's played with a lot of interchangeable parts. So Atlanta United, I mean, I would look for them to play a lot better on Thursday morning. I think the X factor, again, is you have a situation you've never been in before as a professional where you're playing at 9 o'clock in the morning. Atlanta United has never played a game that early in its history. You probably have to go all the way back to when you're playing youth tournaments at Walt Disney World, when you have to get up that early and play. So that is an X factor. But I look for Atlanta United to do much better. And really, they need 3 points. If they do not win against Cincinnati, then I think they're in very bad trouble to go through to the knockout round. If they do get a win against Cincinnati, they're probably in better shape. They aren't really 100% there yet, but it puts them in very good shape.
Mike Conti, again, his appearance brought to you by the folks at Lindy and Sarah. Sell your home today at lindyhasthebuyers.com. Always enjoy it. Look forward to a good call on Thursday.
Yeah, it'll be weird. I guess you guys coming off at 8:30, so we can come on with the pregame show. That's a little bit different for the morning show, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know, we don't. You know, it's funny, and that's what John Frickie always complains about. Nothing ever goes on this early in the morning.
And the week he's
missing
off.
Out.
The week,
yeah, the week he's off, that it goes down. Yeah, that's how it goes. That's how
we
it goes.
We'll have the mimosas flowing.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Enjoy. Mike Conti, of course, as always, man of many hats, talking mostly Atlanta United with us, as he is the voice of the Five Stripes. Again, 9 a.m. Abe has received some pushback, producer Abe, on his pick six. We'll decipher that. Also go through any takeaways. And an interesting story out of NASCAR that I do also want to get some time on as well when we come back on the morning show. John and Hugh, Willie P. in for John. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, taking up to Andy and Randy at the top of the hour.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.